Turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The title of my message this morning is Strength in Weakness. Strength in Weakness. Now, as a Pentecostal believer, and I make no apologies for that, I realize the importance of God's power in my life. And that I cannot be an effective witness for Jesus apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
And neither can you, and we all need to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because it's not by power or might, but by His Spirit that we're going to accomplish the work of the Lord on the earth. So we need to be a people and a lover of His presence. We need to love His presence. We need to welcome His presence. We need to walk in His presence. We need to be filled with His presence. We need to be endued, amen, with His power. Dunamis, dynamic working power. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive dunamis, dynamic working power, miraculous power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. So how many would realize today that it's not something that we can do?
That's right.
But it's a work of the Holy Spirit through a yielded vessel.
Amen.
God wants to raise every one of us up and use every one of us in this world. Amen. For His glory.
Right.
We want to make Him famous. We want to make Him known. We want to bring glory and honor to Him. And so God chooses human vessels, frail, weak, imperfect human vessels to do extraordinary things. But there has to be a cooperation of that human vessel, amen, with the Spirit of God. You can have Jesus in your house and completely ignore that He's there, right? You must listen and obey His voice. If we do not operate from a place of humility, we can easily become conceited and proud, or even exalted by well-meaning others to a place that belongs to Christ alone. You see, the spirit of Antichrist seeks to exalt a human in the place of Christ. Are you hearing me today? If there's going to be any exaltation, it's going to be what Jesus does in our lives. Amen?
Amen?
And it comes because we exalt Him and not ourselves. If we exalt ourselves, we'll be made low. If we humble ourselves, we'll be exalted. We humble ourselves by exalting Him and placing Him at the highest place, you see. True humility is not being a doormat for the world to walk on. It's not weakness at all. What true humility is power that is under the control of the Lord. Amen? It's disciplined power. And when we are a disciplined people and we operate in the power with the discipline of the Holy Spirit, are you with me? Then we become effective witnesses. We're not loose cannons, but we're effective because we are focused. We are concentrated on what God is concentrated on. Because we are yielding and submitting ourselves to His authority in what we do. We all have our own ideas, and there's as many ideas out there right this morning as there are people.
Amen.
And opinions. But what we need is to hear the voice of Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
We need to know His voice. We need to follow His guidance, His direction. We need to speak what He's speaking. We need to do what we see Him doing. So humility is very important. It's very important that we place ourselves under authority. Amen?
Amen?
There is safety when you are under authority. When I am under authority, there's safety. When I become an authority to myself, I'm in trouble. No one, even in the natural, in this world, lives a life independent completely of authority. There are those who try to live independently of authority, and the jails are full of people that want to live independently of authority. And I'm not knocking anybody who may be in jail today. I'm just saying that we have all been there. We've all done it. We've all made mistakes. And it's because there has been a thing that we've been battling with in our old nature called pride, ego, conceit. In order for us to be effective for Jesus, in order for me to be effective for Jesus, I've got to yield to the Holy Spirit. I've got to place myself under God-given authority as well. Amen? When you get in your car and you're driving on the street, there are certain laws in place for a good reason. I just don't happen to like that stop sign there, and I'm going to ignore it. There's a reason why that stop sign's there. Amen?
Amen?
And even though we don't always understand the authorities that are in our lives, if they do not contradict the word of the Lord, you are to obey them. You are to pay taxes. Hello? Give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. Amen?
Amen.
And to God that which belongs to God.
Yes.
Proverbs 15:33, the second part of that verse says, before honor is humility. Do you want God to honor you? Then you must learn to humble yourself and to come under submission to His authority. And coming under His authority also means that I place myself, according to Romans 13, under the authorities that exist in the land as well. The authorities that are in my life. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Amen? If you're in that household, amen? Wives need to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands are to love their wives. Amen? But all of us need to submit to one another in love.
Yes.
All of us need to respect others. Whether you agree with them or not doesn't negate the fact that we are called to honor and respect people. Everybody is a creation of God. Amen?
Yes.
Not everybody is a follower of Jesus or a child of God, but everybody is His creation.
Yes.
And so we need to honor one another. And we need to work on this culture of honor among ourselves. Because when there's no honor, then fear comes in. And when fear comes in, then we become controlling, territorial, holding on to my piece of the property, wanting my piece of the cake, even if it means that you go without. Fear casts out love, just like love casts out fear.
Amen.
When we operate in fear, we become control freaks. Are you with me?
Yes.
If we feel threatened that someone is going to dishonor us, then often we can become very defensive. And sometimes go on the offensive. And I will get them before they get me. Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Pride is a huge problem, folks. It's a huge problem, I have to tell you, even among the clergy. A pastor, a leader in the church, is to be an example to the flock. Amen?
Yes.
We're not to lord over God's property. We're not to be control freaks and manipulate people by using guilt and fear. Because when we do that, we're operating in rebellion. It's a spirit of witchcraft. Witchcraft, the spirit of witchcraft, is a controlling spirit that controls others, that brings others under its control, under its spell. And it can be dressed up to look so spiritual and so good and so holy. We are family. We belong to one another. And as such, we are to honor and respect one another. Have anybody ever been involved in sibling rivalry before? How come he got a bigger piece than I did? Become territorial and controlling. And because often we feel like there's an injustice being done to, or the potential for an injustice, So we can become jealous and insecure. And when we operate in insecurity, it's actually a form of fear. And where there's fear, then what usually happens is we have to be in control then. Are you with me? And we have to control others around us. Lest I be taken advantage of. When we serve the Lord, we have to humble ourselves. When we serve the Lord, we have to make ourselves vulnerable. I have to be vulnerable to you. I have to open up. I have to let the guard down. I have to be transparent with you in order for the life of Christ to be manifest through me to you. And because of that, pastors especially are very vulnerable to attack because people can pick up on their weaknesses and exploit it. I'm not here to talk about me today. What I'm talking about is that we have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that He can then bring us into position to pour His glory and His power into us, amen, so we can be effective witnesses for Him. In other words, I've got to get out of the way so that He can be seen, so that He can be heard. So beginning with verse 1 of chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, here's Paul. And most commentators believe Paul is speaking of himself here. But notice the humility of his heart. Now, because there were those who were exalting themselves above Paul's authority, and they were causing division and splinters in the church, Paul here speaks as a fool. He even makes that mention that I'm speaking as a fool now when I boast about these things that have been accomplished in me and through me to make Christ known. So whenever you see the record of Paul speaking about what he did and how great he was always speaking as if he were a foolish person. He makes mention of that. Why? Because he understood that in order for him to truly be powerful, he must be in weakness in himself. True strength comes out of weakness. It's not my power. It's not my strength. It's not my wisdom. It's not me that people need. They need Jesus. If we try to fill the void in somebody's life with ourselves, if we somehow are proud and we want to be the ones, come on, that become the person in the place of Christ so that the people are not really looking at Jesus at all, but they're going, wow, how spiritual are you? Paul was very careful. And he had a good reason to be very careful because of something that was going on in his life that was there for a very good reason, because he knew that if he was not kept in a certain place in the Lord, he had to learn this lesson, that he would lose his effectiveness. Because he could, like any one of us here, could very easily become conceited and proud because of all the revelations, because of all the things that God had accomplished in and through him. He could have begun to think of himself more highly than he ought to. And he could start to take away the glory that belongs to Jesus and take it upon himself. And he could become, like there are many today, cult leaders who work through manipulation and control of people. They manipulate emotions. They work through guilt. There are many, many tactics that the enemy uses. Folks, don't let anybody bring you under their power. Don't let anybody bring you under their power. You place yourself under the powers that be, amen, that God has placed in your life. But don't let anybody take away your power, amen, to be an individual. How is it that so many people could go to South America and drink poison Kool-Aid? That didn't happen overnight. There was manipulation. There was control. There was a spirit of witchcraft that took over that church. How many heard of, was it Jonestown? Jim Jones? It's been a few years now. But that's not an isolated case. There are many cases like that. There are other cases where they're not so extreme as to have people commit suicide, but nonetheless they are controlling and manipulating people and robbing them of their inheritance. And they sit themselves as if they are Christ. And they draw disciples after themselves rather than Christ. And so every one of us need to come under authority, God's authority, and the authorities that be that He has placed in our lives, because there is protection when we are under authority. And those who are under authority have legitimate authority. You see, people can operate in giftings and yet be a rebel in their heart. Because the giftings, the callings of God are without repentance. God chooses who He will give the gifts to. It's not a sign of character that a person operates supernaturally. Hopefully the character is first in place, amen? That there's been a conditioning and a humbling of the heart so that a person understands that they are truly poor in spirit and can do nothing apart from Christ.
Amen.
And we bring everything under His authority and recognize and acknowledge, Lord, apart from You, I know I can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
So pride is a huge spiritual danger. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Yeah. You see, Christ is the one that exalts us. And it's okay for another person to praise you in your work. But we are not to boast in ourselves. And so Paul here, let's take a look at this. Verse 1, it is doubtless and profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. He had an out-of-body experience. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Wow. Have you ever considered that? Not everything that we see or hear needs to be repeated. And even when we do have an experience in the Lord, we need to be very careful how we handle it. That we don't use it as a means to exalt ourselves in the eyes of others. Listen to Paul. Of such a one I will boast. Yet of myself I will not boast. Except in my infirmities. Wow. The New Living Translation says in verse 5, if I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. How many like to boast in the things that show how weak you are? Is there anything more uncomfortable than being in a place of helplessness? Being in a place where of weakness. How many have been really sick? In the hospital, sick. I mean, just down sick. And you feel so weak. And there's so little that you can do. And you have to depend on others to take care of you. To blow your nose or whatever. That's an awful feeling, isn't it? To not be in control. But when it comes to the Spirit, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, we must yield control to the Lord. We must be a vessel that is in position for Him to utilize. Because if we become proud, we're going to lose our usefulness in the kingdom. And forget our need of God. That's the second thing that happens. Is not only can we lose our usefulness, but we will forget our need for God. The great men of God that have fallen in high places, we've seen it, it's been on the news. They didn't all start out with an intent that they're going to fall someday or get into the place where they ended up. But what can happen is because of revelations, because of the anointing, because of things that God does in our lives, somehow we can separate ourselves and think that maybe I'm just a little bit better. Are you with me today? Richard Dortch used to be the PTL president and wrote a book called The Fatal Conceit, where he speaks about his life and how things began to unwind and he didn't realize it until it was too late. And then he began to do things because God was using him, because there was manifestations of gifts through his life. He thought that somehow validated him in his character, and he began to slack off in his walk with God. Are you with me? Take heed, lest at any time you think you stand, you fall. It's when you think that you're standing, when you're standing up on your own 2 feet and you're doing just great. You know, we can all shout and praise when we're on top of the mountain. Amen? But it's another thing when you're in the valley. But it's in the place of weakness that His strength is manifested. It's in a place where, you know, we realize that it's not in me. It's not of me anymore. It can't be of me. As soon as it's of me, amen, I'm shutting off the flow. Or only for a season. Samson didn't realize his condition, did he? Here he was still going up and beating up all the Philistines, and God was using him. The anointing of God was on his life. But at the same time, he had a mistress, remember? Right? He was sleeping with Delilah on the side, and he assumed, because God's still using me and I'm still strong, I'm still powerful, that somehow that validated anything he wanted to do. Somehow he could be justified. And he didn't know the time the anointing had left him until it was too late. Now, humility is a work of grace. True humility is a work of grace. We must choose, as an act of our will, to humble ourselves. But the work of humility is something that God does. The older people get in the Lord, generally speaking, if they're growing in the Lord, the more truly humble they are. They could be a powerhouse for God, but they know how to sit down when they're supposed to sit down. Speak when they're supposed to speak and not speak when they're not supposed to speak. See, there's power, but it's under control. Moses was a humble man because he had some control, and yet God had anointed him powerfully. Amen? If you and I are going to be effective, we must be under His control. The New Living Translation says about verse 1, it says, "This boasting is also foolish." But let me go on. He goes on to speak. Now, God had allowed something in Paul's life to humble him. And even that word means to harass him. Has anybody felt harassed by the enemy in your life? You know what? The devil doesn't bother you too much if you're serving him. Come on. If you're in bed with him, he can be as nice as pie to you and he'll just leave you there. But when you determine to serve the Lord, when you determine to follow Jesus, now you're going to experience some difficulties. When I was in the world and I was partying with the best and I just did whatever the crowd was doing, that's what I did. You know, I thought I had all kinds of friends. Everybody liked Keith, you know. He was a real party animal. Until Keith gave his heart to Jesus. Then I found out how many friends I had, real friends. I had a lot of fair weather friends. A friend with weed was a friend indeed, you know. It was all a lie. Of course, none of you ever heard that one before. Yeah. Let's read on. He said, "This man was caught up," verse 4, "into paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter." Verse 5, "Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. He had every reason and every, by the things that he experienced, he could be one of the biggest boasters, folks. But I refrain. That's humility. Lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me or to harass, lest I be exalted above measure. And then concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace, who is that? The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is not how the world sees it. We've got to divorce the thinking of the world. Amen? We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We need the mind of Christ. We need to understand the way that God does it is not going to look like the way the world does. The world says, you grasp, claw, and get your way to the top. And he who dies with the most toys wins. But there's no U-Hauls going to heaven. You and I at our best are really limited in our understanding. You know what? Paul here prayed three times in verse 8 that this messenger of Satan, it must have been some demonic being that was harassing him, but it was allowed by God for a reason to keep Paul in place. If you look at Paul's life and you look at all the things that he experienced, all the persecution, all the opposition, people lying about him, this and all these things happening to him, folks, something was going on in the spirit realm. Yes. How many know that God has enough power to say, stop, yes, and they will stop?
Right.
How many know that you can't always get God to stop something in your life? Sometimes you can pray till the cows come home and nothing is going to change, but you will change. You cannot pray your way out of God's dealings, folks. You see, sometimes we want to do that. Anytime something happens, we start the prayer chain. You know what? I say start the prayer chain. But I will say this also, that after you have prayed, you need to be listening to the voice of the Lord. There are certain things in your life that are not going to be changing because there's a reason why they're there. This is the part that people don't want to know about or hear about or try to ignore, is that God is sovereign. God is in control, folks. He really is. We are His servants. We are His vessels. We're His kids. Jesus said, the very hairs of your head are numbered. He says, no one is able to pluck you out of my Father's hand. That's what Jesus said. That's what I believe. That I'm a child of God, I'm in my Father's hand.
Yes. Amen.
And the things that happen to me, I'm not always going to understand, and I can't pray my way out of everything. But I do know this, that God is working all things together for my good.
Amen.
Not everything is good, but everything works together for our good. And so something was allowed to happen in Paul's life. A messenger from Satan. There are those who felt maybe he had, you know, eye trouble or whatever. No, it tells us very clearly it was a messenger from Satan. Just continue to read the verse. Amen? Just because our hearts can't grasp what God says doesn't mean we need to change it. Amen? Or create our own theology. We don't approach the Word of God with a bias and say, well, I want it to say this, so I'm going to make it say this. Come on, you can sit down and you can write a message up. And you can have a bias. You're already figured out what you want to talk about. And you can make it say what you want it to say. You can take scripture and put a puzzle together and boom, voila, there it is. You just created your own theology. That's how the cult leaders do it. They'll take scripture out of context and they'll piece it together, make it say whatever they want, and manipulate the people with it. usually through fear and control, intimidation. Have you ever heard God tell you not to pray for someone or something? Oh, wait a minute. Paul himself prayed 3 times. Do you think Paul was the only one praying about that situation? I bet he had a lot of people praying for him. But the Lord told him after the 3rd time, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. There's a reason why I allow this thing, because, you know, if you become proud, I can't use you anymore." And God wanted to bless Paul abundantly at the end of his life. When he stood before Jesus, he was going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen? Amen. I've got something that far surpasses anything that you've experienced here below. And so if we want our treasure there, we've got to humble ourselves. Amen? Get ourselves out of the picture. And sometimes know that the things that happen to us in our lives, God allows for a reason. I have seen godly people, saintly people, suffer. And I've prayed and I've done everything I've known to do, and eventually God takes them home. I don't care. You can shout, you can spit, you can lay hands, you can anoint with oil, you can march around, do a Jericho around the bed. If it's their time, it's their time. The Lord knows the number of our days. See, we got to take Scripture in its fullness here. We sometimes will take one little thing and build a whole doctrine out of it. And we don't rightly divide the word of truth. Here we have it very clear. The Holy Spirit put this in there for a reason. So we understand that we don't have to fret and we don't have to fear and we don't have to worry. We don't have to be bent out of shape about what happens to us, because my God loves me. My God is for me. My God is in me. My God's got me in the palm of His hand. The very hairs of my head are numbered. Even a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground apart from your Father knowing about it.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes we think, "God, do you see what's happening to me? I'm going to believe what Jesus said." Of course He does. What we need to do is lean back in His arms and just let go. You're not going to figure it all out. Our brains would explode if we were able to comprehend or try to comprehend God. Our reason is so limited. I can remember when Isuk and I were, for 4 years, we managed in a retirement residence that became an assisted living facility. One of the hardest things we had to deal with is the turning in of the keys, the car keys. You know, when you got old Cyrus there, and he's 95, and Cyrus is bound and determined that he's a good driver, you know, and Cyrus is all over the road, he's going 10 miles an hour, and it's time to take the keys away from Cyrus, you know. And that's a hard thing. One of the hardest things for the residents was the time that they had to give up their car keys. And say, "No longer can I drive myself. From now on, I'm going to have to let, I want you to hear this, someone else drive me." You see, there are certain things in your lives that God takes away because you need to give them to Jesus. You need to give the keys back to God. God gives you keys, but you need to also give those keys back to God. And place yourself under His authority and allow Him now to be in the driver's seat. Even though you can jump up there, you can run ahead of God, you can try to make something happen, but every time you try to make something happen, you're operating in the flesh and you're going to make a mess out of it. You don't try to make something happen that God says is going to happen, or that's already happened. How many know you can't make people well? It's only God that's going to make somebody well. Amen?
Amen.
I don't say that we don't take authority. And sometimes I'll do that. I'll shout at it because it helps my faith. And maybe it helps their faith too. Sometimes we shock them into a healing. But it's only because God says He's going to do it. Are you with me? There's other times when you pray, I'm just like, okay. We prayed. We believed. We leave the results up to God. Now, if we're proud, we're going to say, "Oh, I wonder what I'm going to look like now to the eyes of the people. Nothing happened." You see how pride will creep up? Pride will rob you. Pride will keep you from receiving from God. Pride will keep you from just letting go and praising Him like you should. Because what will people think? We got to get over the opinions of men. Amen? The opinions of others. What does God say? That's what we're going to do. God says, pray for the sick. What if nothing happens? Forget that. Just go pray for the sick. Leave the results up to the Lord. So three times he called on the Lord, and he begged him that it might depart. And I love this. In verse 9 from the Amplified says, but he said to me, my grace, my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger, and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power, that word power is the same one from Acts 1:8, dunamis, miraculous power, are made perfect, that means fulfilled and completed, and shown themselves most effective in your weakness. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I'm out of that seat and he's in that seat. When I'm yielding control to the master. When it's no longer about me, my ego, what people think about me, how spiritual I look to people. When it's no longer about me saying, look what I did. It's about, look what Jesus did. That we're in place where God can entrust us with greater riches. I believe that. We don't want to keep going there, because if a person doesn't stay in their place, folks, I want you to hear this, then God will replace them. God will do it. I don't want to lose my place. Amen? How about you? I don't want to get out of my place with the Lord because I don't want to be replaced. I want to be effective for Christ. I want to be a servant of the Lord. I want to make Him famous. I want to make Him known. I want people to boast on Jesus and not on me. Amen. Amen. And if you give an encouraging word to a brother or sister, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing to encourage them in the Lord. Amen. But some people you don't need to encourage, because what they need is humility. There's nothing worse than flattering a person who's got a huge head. You create a monster. Then you can't tell them anything. They're unteachable. Getting quiet in here again. There is not a formula for fixing everything we face in life. As much as we really want it that way, it's clear from Paul's testimony that God's loving kindness was sufficient for him. And also, Paul's situation, his difficult situation, was not due to sin. Are you with me? Sometimes because some person's got a physical problem, or they're sick or something, well, they must have sinned or done something to be in that condition. It had nothing to do with sin. It had to do with God's purposes for Paul, and God keeping Paul in a position where he can continue to pour out his power through Paul, and Paul not get a big head and make it about him, but to keep it about Jesus. Amen? If he's going to boast, he's going to boast in his infirmities, so the power of Christ may continue to rest upon him. Wow. How many know that God wants to use you? He wants to use you in power, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So it's very important that we understand this thing called humility, what it is to place oneself under submission to the authorities that God has ordained in your life, because there's safety when you're under authority. And a person who is under authority has legitimate authority. A rebellious spirit will be replaced.
Yes. Amen.
I struggle sometimes with rebellion just like everybody else. Sometimes something will come down the pike, you know, that I don't like. And before I know it, I'm like, I'm starting to complain about it, you know. And then the Holy Spirit nudges me and reminds me, submit yourself to the governing authorities. Mm-hmm. For there is no authority that exists that God has not ordained. Mm-hmm. That means even our president, folks, a believer should never slander the president. Because as much as we may disagree with him or agree with him, He's still the person that God has allowed to be in that position of authority over us. What we need to do is pray for those who are in authority over us, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. Paul's situation was not due to a lack of anointing, but because of the anointing. His difficulties were not because he didn't have enough anointing or an anointing on his life. It was because he had the anointing on his life that he had the difficulties. Are you going through difficulties in your life? I tell you what, I know a lot of saints, godly people, love the Lord, are making themselves available. God is working through their lives, and you go through stuff, and it doesn't make any sense, and you wonder what's going on. Sometimes all hell seems to be breaking loose against you. Well, be of good cheer. God is going to use you in great ways. Amen. And even in the midst of the weakness, we've been visiting a woman recently who's in the nursing home recovering. And she just can't get up out of that bed. She's been there for weeks and weeks and weeks. But when you go in there, the presence of the Lord is in that room. This woman's got a smile on her face. She's got a word of encouragement for you. She's praying for the nurses. She's witnessing to the people that are there. God is moving powerfully through this woman. Because she's under submission to the authority of God. And she trusts the Lord with all her heart. She's not one who's trying to figure it all out, leaning on her own understanding. That makes sense. God is as good as I am. I mean, come on. Could we ever say something like that? Maybe even think that for a minute. God, I've been so good. I've been walking so good. I've been behaving myself. I've obeyed the golden rule today. Now, how could this happen to me? How many know that the rain falls on the just and the unjust? But through it all, we learn to lean on Jesus. Through it all, we learn to trust in God. Through it all, we are making Him known, the fragrance of Christ in every place. Amen? The manifestation of His glory, of His power, is going to be effective through those who are under authority. And out of our weakness will be His strength. Out of our inability will be His ability. Out of our insufficiency will be His sufficiency. Amen. It's not what we do, it's what God does. Yeah, that's right. And we just get to be a part of it, and we rejoice and say, God, thank you for using me. I got to be a part of what you're doing today. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 9b in the Amplified says this, therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ, the Messiah, may rest. Yes, that word rest means may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. When you are persecuted, when you are excluded from the crowd, when people mistreat you because of your witness, because of your stand for Jesus, rejoice. Because it means that the Spirit of grace and of glory rests upon you. He tabernacles you. Amen? The Lord is upon you. And when the Lord is upon you, the devil doesn't like it. But to those who God will send you, they will be open. They will be receptive. They will appreciate the light if they've been in darkness and they're looking for a way out. So rejoice in the Lord. And whatever it is you're facing, hallelujah, God is the God of the resurrection. Amen? He can raise you from the dead. If you drop dead, He can raise you up again. So don't worry about your health. Don't worry about what's going on. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Yield yourself to Him. Allow Him to use you in every situation, any situation, in any condition you might find yourself in, whether that be physically or financially or whatever. Don't let external things rob you from the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Paul's situation caused him to call upon the Lord, to draw his strength and wisdom from Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, this is Paul. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace towards me was not in vain. In other words, he didn't just want the power so that he can speak in tongues and look spiritual. Are you with me? But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. Here's where we get into trouble, okay? We got to get ourselves out of the works mentality. Listen to what Paul said. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. What he did, he was able to accomplish by the power of God, and not something that he could do naturally. Sometimes in Christian circles, we've reduced the service to the Lord just to what we can do naturally. Come on. Do we feed the hungry? Yes. Do we clothe the naked? Yes. But folks, sometimes our Christian experience has been reduced to just something that we can do naturally. Are you with me? God wants us to walk by faith. We walk by putting our faith, our trust in the power of God that is sufficient for us to do immeasurably above and beyond what we could ask or think. It's what God accomplishes. We got to open our eyes and realize that what God is calling us to do is so much bigger than what we can do. And that in itself humbles you. When I know I got to get up here, it humbles me to say, I've got to preach today. And when you try to preach day in and day out, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, and you've got to have a word, how many know that you've got to depend on God for that? Or you can go on the internet and get some canned sermon or something. Now, I'm not saying that you can't get seed, okay, or you can't get an idea by reading. The Holy Spirit will speak to you through things. But the matter is this, is that it's got to be of Him and not of me. It's got to be of Him and not of me. Because we can put everything together, have it packaged so nice. We can be a church that has all the programs, all the bells and all the whistles. Everything is so nice and neat and it's going on here. And be completely powerless. Thank God that's not us. We're not there. Amen. I believe in organization. I believe in having things done well, decently, and with excellence. However, we must have the power of God. If we don't have the power of God, then we're just a social club. Amen. We just live for the next potluck dinner. And rub elbow with the Joneses. Hey, Chuck. There are actually Joneses among us here. When is it? Yeah. And I think fellowship's important, by the way. Ephesians 3:7, Paul says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given to me by the effective working of His power. He didn't say, I became a minister of God because I went to Bible college and I wanted a nice, cush 9-to-5 job. Right. By the way, most of the people that go in with that attitude don't survive very long. Very few survive the ministry. And the only way you're going to survive the ministry, am I right, Brother Frank? Is by the grace of God, by the power of God. If you try to do this without Him, you're going to get messed up fast. And you're not going to be able to deal with all the stuff. Not only do you have your own situations to deal with, you've got everybody else's. It's impossible for a man to do everything like that. We work as a body here. I love that. We take care of each other here. But it's not by our ability, it's by His. And His ability is shown and revealed through weakness. Why is it that God often does not call the people who are the rich and famous? God often does not call the people. Sometimes He does, but not often. Does He call the people who are in the political arena or the spotlight? Or some celebrity? Why? Because when He takes the average Joe and the average Jane, amen? And He puts His power in them and He raises them up, hello. They say, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Joseph's boy? Where did he get those words? Where did he get that authority? This man speaks with authority, speaks with power. He's not like the guys we're used to sitting under. And so God takes the unlikelies. Hallelujah. and he fills them with his power and he raises them up because he knows that he can entrust the greater riches to people who are humble. And if we start to get proud, the Lord knows how to deal with that too. And I don't like going to the woodshed. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do. Who? God works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure, not of your good pleasure. So if you're experiencing weakness and helplessness in your life, cheer up. God is all sufficient. He wants to be your strength and help. You're going to find, and if you, maybe you have already, that His grace is enough. You want to know why His grace is enough? Because His name is El Shaddai. That means that He is more than enough. For everything that we need, folks, when you are taken care of and when your soul is at rest, when your soul is at peace, when you're walking in the presence of the Lord day by day, hallelujah, you'll find that the things, the external things, cannot dominate and control you and rob you of your joy. Do you know that you don't have to let your joy go? You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to let your peace go. Because all you need, joy, peace, righteousness, is in Christ. And you have been given access to the throne of grace. You just need to get on your face and cry out to God. Cry out to God. Call upon Him until the peace of God comes and saturates your life, your being. And when you come up off that, out of that place, you say, wow, that problem wasn't so big after all. How many want the power of God in your life? Now, how many are willing to yield to the Holy Spirit and to the dealings of God so that you might be in position for the power of God to be in your life? All right. How come the first time there was like full and then the second time was like half mass? Guess what? He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. So you can go kicking and screaming or you can just cooperate and go with God. So let's just go with Jesus. Amen.